We're going to do something slightly different. Now, I haven't prepared a sermon, but you are going to provide all the thinking today, okay? So I hope you've had your cup of coffee. I hope you've got your thinking cap thoroughly on your head. I'm just going to do a little explanation about how we can make the most of the Bible, okay? And on the way out of church, you've got lots of things to think about on the way out of church. I've printed off a whole load of these bookmarks. And if you're watching online, if you're watching on YouTube, in the more info bit, there's a link there to download these bookmarks as well. So you can all get a bookmark to go in your Bible for today, and you might even take a new Bible with you, so you come out with a whole load of goodies from church. Don't say that we don't ever give anything to you. And we're going to think, just firstly, before we have our first reading, which you might notice isn't on our sheets, and it's not going to appear on the screen, because you're going to find the readings in your own Bibles. And the challenge is, everyone's got different Bible, and they're probably going to be on completely different pages. The only people who are lucky is if you're holding one of the pew Bibles, it does say what number it's going to be on. So we'll get to that in just a moment. But first, just want to think about how we can do this for ourselves. What are the tools we need? Well, last Sunday, we were thinking about how God has given us these two tools to help us to carry on in life. All sorts of things can afflict us and make life hard for us. But God, in his grace and kindness, has given us, well, he's given us lots of things, but we were thinking about two in particular, how he's given us his holy word, the Bible, but he's also given us the ability to pray, to speak to him, and he is a loving father who longs to hear from his children. And the Bible is God's word to us. That's why at the end of a Bible reading we say, this is the word of the Lord, thanks be to God. We are thankful that God speaks to us powerfully through his word. But I wonder, and I think probably I'm not alone here, sometimes you might have opened up the Bible before and thought, where do I even start? Do I start at the beginning? Do I start somewhere near the end? Do I just flick through it like this and then put my finger somewhere and see, maybe that's how I should read the Bible? It can be confusing to think, where do I even start? But I just want to assure you, the Bible isn't just for experts. It's for all of us, each and every one of us. It's for everyone. And what I want us to go away with this morning, it's my prayer and my hope, is that we can all find some simple steps to help us to make the most out of reading the Bible and to hear God speak to us. So as I said, we'll take one of those bookmarks, and that's got each of these points highlighted with a little emoji on there as well. You can take that and use that this half term. So the first step, it says, is that we need to pray first. Now, we're going to do some actions to help us to remember. It's a good way, cognitively helping us to remember these things. So the step one is we need to pray first. Let's all join in. I know it's more enjoyable when we all join in. Step one, pray first. Excellent. We need to ask God to help us to listen. So before we read the Bible, it's a really helpful thing to pray. Now, there might be different things that can distract us. We're sat down, we're going to read the Bible. Shout out some ideas. What kind of things might distract you if you're sat down and you're going to read the Bible? Anyone? Or maybe it's just me who gets distracted. What things? The phone, yes, so the phone can distract us. Maybe a good idea, put your phone on silent. Yes, Sammy, nice and loud. TV, yeah, anything like that can distract us. What other things might distract us? Thoughts, yeah. Things can be going around in your head. Oh, I hope I've remembered to do the food shop for this week or something like that. Could be anything, all sorts of things. Great, might distract us. So maybe a simple prayer, something like this. God, please help me to understand to what you're saying to me today, and please help me to listen carefully. Amen. Could be something as simple as that. Please help me to listen. Please help me to understand and to avoid distractions. And if you do get distracted, that's okay. Just come back to what you were doing rather than going to check your phone or watch the TV or whatever it is. So that's the first thing. We need to pray first. The second thing is we need to look carefully. So let's point at our eyes. We need to look carefully. This is about us looking at a passage and thinking about what's happening. Who's speaking? Now, you might be wondering, where on earth can I start? Sammy was given, actually, at school this week, he was given a Bible at school, by Good News for Everyone. If you were here a few months ago, we had people who were speaking from them. They used to be called Gideons. They're called Good News for Everyone now. And they go and they take Bibles. And in those Bibles, at the beginning, there's all these little references. If you're going through something, maybe stress or sickness, it gives you some verses to go to and a page number. So that might be a good place to start. Or some of these Bibles, they even have a reading plan. I think these ones I got the other day have a reading plan, or you might just want to start. Yeah, here we go. So these ones, if you haven't got one before, it gives you a reading plan over 40 days and gives you different verses to go to and different chapters. So if you think, where do I start? Well, something like that over 40 days, that can make a real difference. So we need to look carefully. What's happening? Who's speaking? So when you read, you need to look carefully. It's like you're being detectives, okay? Who is talking? Maybe you're reading a bit of the Gospels. Jesus is talking to his disciples, perhaps. Or maybe you're back in the story of Exodus, where God led his people out of slavery. Maybe you're seeing Moses talking to Pharaoh to let my people go. Or maybe you're in the Psalms, and it's King David writing one of the Psalms. Who's speaking? But also, what's happening? Is God talking to someone about something that's going to happen? Or maybe the people complaining about food. That happened time and time again in the Old Testament when the people were freed from slavery. They kept on complaining that it'd be better for them to be back in Egypt than going through the wilderness. So that's it. We use our eyes, look carefully what's happening, who's speaking. And all these are going to be on the bookmark in case you forget. The third thing is, let's touch our head, is thinking about our head. What does this teach me about God? And why I need Jesus. Now, these are the real central parts of this. We talk about our head, heart, and hands. And three H's you can remember: head, heart, and hands. So the head, what does this teach me about God and why I need Jesus? Well, the best Bible readers, do you know who the best people are reading the Bible? Not necessarily the people who know the most about the Bible. They are the people who are good at asking questions. So if you're good at asking questions, you might think, I don't know lots about what's in the Bible, but I'm quite good at asking questions about what I'm reading. That is a really good thing to have. So you might ask questions like, what does this teach me about what God is like? Or what does it teach me about what we can be like as human beings? You might read, for example, that God is generous. You're asking, what did this show me what God is like? And you're reading a passage where God is being very kind. It teaches me that God is generous, or that God is holy. But it might be something about us, we think, well, actually, yeah, we're often guilty of grumbling too. I'm just like this person that I'm reading about here. Now, it's okay if you don't understand everything. Often I will get to a passage in the Bible and think, I'm not quite sure I understand exactly what is going on here. But that's okay. All of us are still learning. The important thing is that we're asking questions as we read. So that's our head. So we've got head, then we've got our hearts. Let's put our hands on our hearts. This might be a new thing to a lot of us. How is this making us feel? How is this making us feel as we're reading this bit of the Bible? Is it comforting us in some way? Or is it challenging us? Or maybe it's encouraging us? All these different things it can feel as we think about how it relates to our hearts. So when we read the Bible, it's a normal thing to feel something, okay? And actually, do you know what? It's a really good sign that God is speaking to you if you feel that that passage there could have been written exactly for you. I'm often really excited when people do come up to me and say, it sounds as if that passage was written exactly for me. And I think that is a really good sign that God is working, speaking to you. It's as if it could have been written for you and no one else, is how personal it feels. You may read it and you feel comforted. Maybe you're going through a difficult time. This happens a lot. People feel comforted as they read the Bible. Or maybe you feel challenged as well. Something that you've been doing that you shouldn't. You feel God challenging you. Or maybe you feel God encouraging you. You're going through a tough time and you feel scared, but God is encouraging you. He's giving you courage not to give up. So that's our hearts. And the third thing, head, heart, hands. What am I going to do today because of this? What am I going to do with my hands? God doesn't want us just to read the Bible and then walk away. He wants it to change how we live, what we think, what we feel, and what we do. And that's what we're going to do together now as we have our readings. We're going to have two readings, one from Paul's letter to the Romans and then our gospel reading afterwards. And we're going to be thinking just about a couple of those verses in Paul's letter to the Romans, using our head, our heart, and our hands. So I'm going to give you just a moment now to try and find that reading. It's not going to appear on the screen, although if you've got one of these black pew Bibles, it does tell you that it's on page 949, if you want to read along. And we're going to read Romans chapter 15, verses 1 to 7.
A reading from the book of Romans. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Now, I want you just to keep a thumb on that page there. You might, if you heard that, think, my Bible read a lot differently to that. And the reason why is that there are different Bible translations. And let me give a quick example. We all know the phrase, it's raining cats and dogs. We all understand. What does that mean? It's raining really heavily. Okay. Now, you go over to, let's say you go to a remote part of Japan where they've never heard that phrase before, and you want to translate that phrase, it's raining cats and dogs, into Japanese or into a dialect there. Okay. What do you do? Now, you've got two things you could do. You could either literally translate it's raining cats and dogs into Japanese. I don't know if there's anyone, is there anyone who speaks Japanese here? No, don't know what it is. Okay, you could translate it. And then they hear that in Japanese and think, that's a very strange thing to do. You know, be looking out for cats and dogs upstairs, coming down out of the, you know, out of the sky. Or you could translate it into what it means. So it means it's raining very heavily, is what it means. So you could translate that into Japanese. Now, that's kind of what the Bible translators have to do in the New Testament out of Greek or the Old Testament out of Hebrew or Aramaic, that they can either literally, word for word, translate it. And some Bibles, like the ones we've got here, a bit more literal, which sometimes they feel a bit more, you know, they're not using everyday English as much. But some of them are trying to, what they call, try to get the meaning across rather than the strict word for word. So it might read a bit easier, but it might not be as literal translation as some of the others. Does that make sense? So there's no one right translation to have. It all depends. One of the real benefits, actually, of bringing a Bible to church is that actually you will have different versions and that you see different things based on different versions. It's what we do in our Bible study groups. People bring different Bibles along, and actually having different translations helps us to get a richer understanding. Oh, that's interesting. In my version, it says that, not that. So I just want to say that in terms of you thinking, was I in the wrong part of the Bible? Probably you weren't, but it might have been a different translation. And we're not going to study the whole passage, but we're literally just going to look at the first three verses and think about, if we turn to that, how might we understand what's going on and how God might be speaking to us? Just as a broad summary to give us a bit of a context, this passage is about how we can live well with other people who love Jesus. But we're going to use these same three things. We're going to use our head, our heart, and our hands. We've already prayed. We are hopefully looking carefully at those first three verses in that passage. But we're going to use this idea of head, heart, and hands. So, head. What does this teach me about God, and why I need Jesus? So we're going to start with our heads. Think about, what does it tell us about God? What does it tell us about why we need Jesus? And we're going to look at this first verse, verse 1. That will come up on the screen, just to help us to see. And you can see that we're using the English Standard version, which are the black ones that we've got here in church. You might have a different one. But it says this in verse 1, "We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves." So we might ask a question, if we can just keep that up there just for the moment then. We who are strong. So who is writing this? This is the Apostle Paul writing this to the church in Rome. We who are strong. So there's the first question you might ask. It said the importance of asking questions. Who are the strong? How might we answer that question? Does anyone want to have a guess? Don't forget, we are learning as we're doing this together, and any courage or bravery is definitely to be commended. Who might the strong be? Any ideas? You can shout out an answer, so I don't know who it is if you're worried about that. Who might the strong be? Those who have a stronger faith than others. Yes, so I think you're onto something there, Jonathan. That's really helpful. Now, I read that and I think, I want to know a bit more. Has he already mentioned this somewhere? And this is one of the real advantages about reading from a Bible, because you can see what goes before and after it. So what we're going to do, actually, to find out a bit more of this, and I think you're onto a winner there, but we're going to go just up a few verses back into chapter 14 and verse 14. Because that actually gives us a clue as we read back as to what's there. So you might just scan upwards. And it says this, Paul saying, "I know and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, but it is unclean for anyone who thinks it's unclean." So maybe just have a chat with the person next to you. How does that help us to understand who might be the strong and who Paul is talking about in that verse? Have a nat, maybe just the person next to you. And if you're not sure, then don't worry about it. That's fine. Someone else will come up with an answer. Okay, anyone want to share any ideas? What have you been discussing? Any ideas? Come round. Yes. Might come with you to it with a lollipop mic, actually, if that's all right. What's your grief? Oh, that's all right.
It's about making sure that you're seeing the good in everything. To me, that's what I'm talking about. Being
excellent. Curious. Great, yeah. So being able to see the good in everything, yeah. Any other ideas? What did, in a room this big, you're bound to have different thoughts. Yeah.
Just thinking about the strong people, who we would term as strong these days, would be, we hope, those that were looking after our interests.
Yeah. So there's something to do with strength and caring for others as well.
Yes.
And there's about a strength of care in there,
yes,
as well. Yeah.
People who think they're strong.
Yeah.
Aren't necessarily doing a very good job about it.
So that's interesting, yeah. So people who might think that they're strong might be tempted to use their strength for their own advantage and not to help those who really need it. Yeah, absolutely. Any other thoughts? Yeah, okay, well, let me just come over.
I think the fact that he's in the Lord Jesus, so I think it's people that...
Yeah, that's right, hold it there.
You know, that are spirit-filled in the sense of showing those fruits of the Spirit by being outgiving because they're praying. Mm. If they're in the Lord Jesus, they're actually praying to God within themselves.
That's great. That's great. So there's something there, and it ties out to what Jonathan was saying earlier about faith as well. And if we had that verse 1 just back again, Ben. So that we who are strong, we get an idea that there are people who can use their strength as Christians in a way that cares for others. Now, something that we see here, and if you read through the whole of chapter 14, there's an issue that's going on for the church in Rome. And that issue is, you've had some Christians who have come out of maybe pagan background or Jewish background, and the idea of eating food that had been offered to idols seems like the worst thing imaginable in the world. Okay, absolutely, I'm not. I've come out of that life. I want nothing to do with that at all. But so you might almost say that their consciences are kind of, they're quite sensitive. They might be triggered by those kind of things. I think if I start doing that, I'm going to go back into that whole way of life that God's delivered me from, the last thing that I want. And you've got people who frankly don't see that as an issue. They say, well, I believe that God's in control of all these things. I give thanks to God. I don't care if it's been sacrificed to an idol or not. I know that that idol isn't real anyway. I'm going to receive it with thanksgiving. And Paul is saying that you've almost got those like that whose consciences are stronger and those whose consciences are perhaps a bit more fragile. He's saying here that if you're strong, you've got a duty of care to those who are weak, those who maybe are struggling with that a bit more. So don't flaunt your freedom in front of them if it's going to make them stumble. Now, that might apply to all sorts of different things. For example, we've got Halloween coming up this week, and some Christians say, yeah, I have no problem going to Halloween party, yeah, whatever. And others have been like, that is the last thing I would want to do. And there's division there. And each Christian will make up their own mind about that. And I'm not saying what you can or can't do, but it's important that those who perhaps don't feel as triggered by those things don't flaunt their freedom in front of others. So the duty of the strong is to actually care for the weak as well. But we wouldn't necessarily understand who the strong are unless we'd looked a bit further back at that passage as well. But what does Paul say they should do, though? So if they've got the strong and the weak, what is the key action that he says that those people ought to do or behave like? There's two things going on. Do you want to shout out a couple of the things you might see? I'll give you a clue. One of them is a big, scary animal that goes roar. Begins with B. Bear! So they're to bear with one another, okay? Not an actual bear. They're to bear. That means to put up with, but to care for others as well. And what's the other thing they're told not to do? To please themselves, absolutely. So they're told to bear with those who might be weaker or struggling, rather than just thinking about pleasing themselves. Okay. Now, what if I've got three young people who want to come up, whose grown-ups are happy for them to appear on the live stream? Sammy, I know you want to come up. Can we have two others as well? Or we could have adults if we haven't got any younger people who want to go up. We need three people for this. Otherwise, oh yeah, here we go. Super. Great. Right. So, Sammy, you can be Jesus. And one of you, which of you is stronger than the other? Who do you think is stronger? Which is weaker? You think you're the strong one? Okay, right. So we've got the strong one here. So you stand here. The weak one in the middle. I know you're not really weak, but just for the purposes of this. And we've got Jesus on the side with his hands in his pockets. Excellent. Right. So we've got the strong, we've got the weak, and we've got Jesus. What did Paul say to do for the strong? Let's see your biggest, strongest muscles. Come on. Come on, flex. Yeah, well done, well done. And let's see you weak, looking very weak. Oh, dear. Okay. And you're Jesus over there. Great. So we've got the strong, the weak, and we've got to Jesus. So we've got the strong are meant to help the weak. So you might want to put an arm around the weak to help them. There we go. So the strong are helped to weak, not to show off, but to help them, to build them up. And who is the best example you can think of someone who's strong helping the weak? Who do you need to look at? Jesus, absolutely. So there we go. The strong can help the weak as they look to Jesus, who personified strength and helping the weak as well. Great, you can go and sit down. Let's give them a round of applause. So we've got the instruction in verse 1. We've seen about what it's telling us, but we've got sort of the motivation in verse 3. So if we just go down, we can have verse 3 on the screen, Ben. Because we're told that we're not to please ourselves. And we got verse 3. Great. It says, and here's the reason why. Now, anytime there's a for in the Bible, you say, what is for there for? So for, it's kind of explaining why something is there. So it says, for Christ did not please himself. So we're not to please ourselves because Christ did not please himself. And then it quotes, these quote marks mean it's quote from somewhere else in the Bible, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. Now, I read that second verse and I think, I don't use reproaches that often in everyday language. I might struggle to understand what that was going on. So actually what I needed to do is look at a different translation. So this is from the English Standard Version. I needed to go to something that's a bit more like explaining what it means rather than the word for word. So I used the Good News Translation, which is the one that we use in Sunday school. It's a really good translation. So it says this, and this is helping me to understand what it means. For Christ did not please himself. Instead, as the scripture says, the insults which are hurled at you have fallen on me. Now all of a sudden, oh, I can understand that. It's like someone throwing insults at someone, but like Jesus gets in the way. He takes those insults on our behalf. Now you might have read the reproaches one and understood that, but for me, I could have done with this translation to help me to understand a little bit more about what it means. Christ did not please himself, and actually, that's what love looks like. All this is about love, how we show love. So those who consider them strong need to help the weak by looking to the example of Jesus, who did this perfectly. Does that make sense? So now all of a sudden, Romans 15, 1 to 3, we understand what it's saying, hopefully. It's all about the strong helping the weak by looking to how Jesus is as the one who makes that possible and shows what love is like. So that's the head stuff. The heart stuff now, this is going to be getting a bit more sort of different for each one of us, is how does it make me feel? I might be feeling quite strong at the moment and that things don't really bother me. Well, there's something that it's telling us, but I might be feeling quite weak at the moment. What is that telling me and about how the church should behave? How does this make us feel? How does this make you feel then when you hear that Jesus didn't choose to please himself, but actually took the blame for others? Actually, what verse 3 is talking about is the cross. Think about the most dramatic place where Christ received those insults on our behalf. If you really are the Son of God, get down off of that cross. You know, can't you save yourself? It's at the cross where Christ took those insults and took that penalty for us. So when you're thinking about that, how does that make you feel? Does it upset you? Does it challenge you? Does it make you thankful? All sorts of things. It's going to make us feel differently in our hearts. What do you feel? We might feel thankful or loved or challenged, or I want to be more like that in my life. I wonder, just in a moment, just quietly in your heart, how does that make you feel? And that can happen anytime you read the Bible. It can make you feel all sorts of things. That's God's Holy Spirit at working in you. That's the heart. And the last thing is we're going to do our hands, is what should I do? So we've thought about what it means, how it makes us feel, what should I do? What should I do because of this? So what might be some of the ways, if we're feeling strong and we want to help the weak, or if we're feeling weak at the moment and we need a bit of extra help, what might be, and this is where children, you can shout out some great ideas, how can strong people help weak people? Anyone got any ideas? We think about how we can actually do something with this. How can strong people help weak people? Yes, Sammy, start us off. You could do something as simple as helping them carry their shopping if you see someone who's struggling. Yeah, absolutely. Any other ideas? How can we help? We can stand up for them, yeah, in all sorts of ways. If someone, that could be in the playground, someone being teased or bullied. That could be in the workplace. That could be in a care home. It could be anyone. Or it could be on a much bigger scale, standing up for those who don't have a voice. Absolutely, that's a great answer. Maybe any other ideas? How can the strong help the weak? Listening to them, absolutely. That's a huge thing. A lot of people who are weak feel that they're not listened to. To listen to someone shows a great degree of strength. Yeah, maybe one more idea. Give them a call. So it's communication both ways. Check in on them. It's real friendship. It's love. It's care. It can be all of these things. Now, it might be, as Paul was talking about in his day, those who are struggling with certain things. It's not flaunting our freedom. So if you find that doing something doesn't cause you any problems, but it does for others. It might be as simple as what you're watching on TV or something like that, but you know that someone else might struggle with that. Then don't flaunt your freedom. Actually, strength means sacrifice, because that's what Christ did. So those are some of the different ideas about how we could be helping those who are weak. You see, the Bible isn't just words on a page. It is God's word for us today. So when we read it, we can use, let's do our actions, we can use our head, our heart, and our hands to live it out. So I'm just going to lead us in a prayer, and then don't forget to take these bookmarks at the end. And thank you for joining in this morning. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us the Bible. Thank you that it teaches our minds, it touches our hearts, and it guides our hands. Help us to listen to you, to love like Jesus did, and to live out your word this week. Amen.